Hello, beautiful people. Portia Wilkins here, and another quick midwife moment. Doing my studying today. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to read through and around verses 14 through 26. So for those of you jumping on, hello, hello, welcome. Portia Wilkins. This is another midwife moment. If you've missed the ones in the past, you can go to midwifemoments.com. That's midwifemoments.com and catch up on that. For those of you who are new and who do not know me, I am a purpose midwife, author, and entrepreneur. I minister the word of God, apostolic, prophetic, and a teacher as well. And I enjoy teaching the principles and laws of God. I do. And so one of the ways that I do that, obviously, is through social media, but events and things like that as well with my ministry. And so I have a supernatural pregnancy testimony that I shared, how God literally took me through an incredible prophetic supernatural journey in conceiving our miracle baby boy. I'm so excited about that. But it just goes to show you how when you practice God's principles, you can participate in His promises. And so I've created a 3-part docuseries to go through the details of my testimony. And I also wrote a book about it. It's called You're Not Infertile, You're Just Not in Timing. And so you can go to supernaturalpregnancy.com to get the information and watch the docuseries and order the book as well. But Midwife Moments is just my opportunity after my Bible study to just share with you what the Lord has share with me in hopes that just like it blessed me, it could bless you too, help you at some point along your journey, wherever you may be. And if it's not for you, maybe you share it for someone who it is. But if you look at the title for today, it says, I don't debate my faith. I do not debate my faith. On social media, there are a lot of different people who, you know, love to fight the things of God. They want to debate everything in regards to the word instead of just standing on the truth that it is. They question everything about it, not with the purpose of understanding, but with the purpose of dishonoring and disrespecting it. They want to minimize its potency. They want to devalue the word of God. And so, like, even now, you have the LGBTQ plus element of P community that is celebrating the demonic spirit of pride. And the Bible is very clear. Pride comes before a fall and a hearty spirit before destruction. And so when you celebrate something that can destroy you, a lot of times you are blinded by your own, by the pride that you're promoting. You are blinded by your own selfish ambitions. And so there's a lot of arguments and debating that is taking place on social media and even offline as well, with people who are literally taking the word of God and manipulating it, twisting it to fit and justify their sin. They are taking the word and saying, yeah, I know it says very clearly that this is a sin and we shouldn't do that, but I feel differently. And so when it comes to the things of God, one of the main things that has helped me along my journey of developing in Christ and just really every day trying to become a new person and renewed by His word every day is taking it for what it is and not, I remove my emotions. I remove my feelings. I remove my anger, my frustration, my fear, my conviction. I remove my feelings out of the way and just, if the word says 1 + 1 = 2, then 1 + 1 = 2. Like that's just what it is. If it says, you know, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't fornicate. If it says don't do those things, then I'm just not going to do it. okay? Or for those who choose to do it, just own up to the fact that you're doing it. What many have chosen to do instead is to follow through with their sin and iniquity and then try to use the Bible to justify it. That's where the disrespect comes in, and then that is where I have a big problem. Because if you just want to be out there and just doing whatever, be out there and do whatever you want to do. But don't take the word of the true, living, all-knowing, all-powerful God that He is, the loving, forgiving God, the caring and correcting God that He is, the miraculous healing God. Don't take His word and try to manipulate it to justify and fit your sin. Like, that in and of itself is destructive to you. Just say, this is what I want to do, and be done with it. But the reason why, what I've learned is, the reason why a lot of people take the Bible and this, man, and attack it the way that they do, and attack Jesus the way that they do, and His word the way that they do, is because they are heavily convicted in their spirit. They are heavily convicted in their spirit. When I see people on social media dressed up as Jesus and being drugged and beat and ridiculed by someone dressed up as Satan, or here recently, I think it was like the Dodgers or something, invited this group of satanic, just disgusting, vile people to put a man on a cross to simulate Jesus, and was slashing him and twerking on him and doing all these disrespectful things to him. The reason why the word of God is attacked to the extent that it is because it's powerful. It's because they feel convicted. It's because they know that what they're doing in their heart of hearts, they know that it's wrong, and it's an actual struggle for them. It's not something that they are excited about doing. It's not something that they truly look forward to like they pretend to do. When they go home, they are miserable, desperate. They are unhappy. They are on medication. They are going through a lot of things because they are truly, they're suffering. They're suffering. Anytime you do things that are demonic, and regardless of how you feel in that moment, it's like, you see people who are addicted to drugs like crack and cocaine. They take their hit, and for that moment, they feel good for that moment. But then it wears off, so they got to go back for more. It's false. It's a facade. It's surface, okay? It's not real. It's not all knowing and all loving. It's temporary. It's temporary pleasure. Okay, and so once that temporary pleasure wears out, they got to go back for more, and then they hate themselves for doing it. They hate themselves for doing it. People who are addicted to pornography, they don't want to be addicted to pornography. They don't want to do that. So after they watch it and they get off, they feel disgusting. They don't feel good about themselves because they're like, dang, I did it again. Ugh, how can I get rid of this? Like, why does this keep happening to me? Why do I keep doing this? Or for you ladies, when a man slides in your DM and sends you a message telling you you sexy or whatever, and, you know, they want to buy you some shoes or a bag or pay your rent in exchange for you having sex with them, and then you go and you have sex with them, and afterwards you feel like trash because you know you just did it out of an exchange. You know there was no substance there. There was no stickability to it. Because it was all transactional. That's what sin does. For a moment, it feels okay. For a moment, while you're doing it, it feels good. However, if you continue on that path, that sin turns into iniquity. Sin is doing what God said not to do. Iniquity is doing what He said not to do over and over again. Once you get caught up in iniquity, now the devil has a doorway. You've given him an opportunity to come in, and now he can take over. And once he takes over, he just drags you in deeper. So now you're depressed and you don't know why. You're unhappy and you don't know why. I watch these stories of people who have gone through, who are fighting gender confusion right now. Remember, God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. So those who are thinking they're a different gender than what they are, and they start to go through the process of transitioning to a different gender physically. They go to the doctor and they start mutilating themselves. And I'm watching these stories of them. And they are severely depressed. and unhappy because they are now, they did the thing that they thought was going to make them happy, only to realize that it's not going to make them happy. It makes them feel worse. So now they have these open wounds that they got to heal now. And they got these scars on their body where they've cut off their breasts and mutilated their breasts and they mutilated their genitals. And men who have had holes cut inside of their growing area to simulate a vagina, and they have to continually keep it lubricated and moisturized, otherwise it's going to close because it's not a vagina, it's a sore, it's a womb, it is not an actual vagina. So your body naturally heals itself. So your body is like, oh, I have a scar, I have a scratch, I have a cut, let me hurry up and heal it. And so that is what's happening. And so they go through that process, and it's only to get to the other side and see, man, what I thought was going to make me happy isn't making me happy. I'm actually more depressed than what I was before. And so when you have people that are like that, who are now on public platforms blaspheming the name of God and disrespecting him like nobody's business, it's because they are convicted. They are offended by the word of God because they are convicted by the word of God. Okay, and when people like that show up, whether it's in the comments or in person or whatever the case may be, I don't debate my faith with them. I'm not here to go back and forth with you on the validity of Christ. I'm not here to go back and forth with you on whether or not he died on the cross for our sins. I'm not here to go back and forth with you on whether or not miracles and deliverance and healing is real. That's not what I'm here for. I don't debate the validity of the faith. What I do is I teach it. And if it's for you, it's for you. But if it's not, then you can keep scrolling. And I planted the seed. Somebody else can show up and water it. And then hopefully you'll get your healing and your deliverance too. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about the unashamed workman. The unashamed workman. Now, I'm talking specifically for those of you who believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and he raised from the dead 3 days later for your salvation. For those of you who know God for yourself, who know that if it was not for him who was by your side, you wouldn't have been able to pay your rent. You wouldn't have been able to pay your car note. You wouldn't have been able to got approved for that loan. You wouldn't have met the one that you met that changed your life forever. You wouldn't have met your husband. You wouldn't have been able to give birth. You wouldn't have been able to do the things that you're doing today. You know that the lungs that you have, the air that blows, the oxygen that flows through your body, your liver, your kidney, your pancreas, your heart, your arteries, your veins, you know all of those components of you will not be where they are if not for Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Gabor. You know without a doubt who he is, okay? If it was not for him that talked you off the ledge, you would have jumped. If it wasn't for him that told you to throw away the pills, you would have took them all and committed suicide. That's the God I'm talking about. And I'm talking to those of you who know him. For those of you who know him, the Lord is saying it's time for you to stop being ashamed of your faith. Stop being ashamed for believing the word of God and for standing on the truth that the word of God says you need to stand on. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter who opposes it. When people oppose and fight the word of God, that conviction that they feel in their heart is what they are, is why they are reacting the way that they are. They are offended because they are convicted. And so that's not a time for you to fold back. That's not a time for you to go back and forth with somebody who is saying, it's not true, it's not this, you read, that's the white man's Bible, our ancestors did this, that, and the third. Listen, I don't care what religion was lost at sea when our ancestors was brought over on the ships. They worship all kind of stones and artifacts and everything else. I do not care. I do not care. It's all about Jesus. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is it for me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord God. Period. Period. End of discussion. There is no way for you to come in and convince me otherwise. Do not question yourself. You stand firm on the word. The Bible says be an unashamed workman. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study and do your best to present yourself to God, approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, and accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. How do you do that? You read it. How do you do that? You journal. You listen. You pay attention to what God is saying do in his word, what he says don't do in his word. That's how. You read, you open up your Bible. Hello. You get you some highlighters and some pens and some post-it notes, and you just go through that thing. And I promise you, all you got to do is open it and read it, and the Holy Spirit will provide revelation. The Lord will begin to speak to you. See, life is full of tests. But the great part about those of us who stand on the side of Christ is that it's an open book test. We can always go back to the previous chapters and books and see what was said, what was done in regards to our situation. Some Bibles even have a glossary in the back of it that will show you different subjects, okay? Different words that you can look up, and it will show you all of the verses that correspond with those particular words. But all you have to do is open the Bible. So study and do your best to present yourself to God, approved, a workman tested by trial. Tested by trial, okay? And who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Verse 16 goes on to say, and this is why I don't debate my faith, but avoid all irreverent babble and godless chatter with its profane, empty words, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their teaching will spread like gangrene. Everybody want to hear something that justifies their foolishness. Everybody want to be applauded for looking crazy and foolish. Everybody wants their sin to be celebrated so they don't feel bad about doing it, okay? But when you truly have the word of God in your heart, and it may take a couple of times for you to read that verse for you to truly understand it, but read it anyway. If you don't understand the verse, read the chapter. If you're still not clear, read the entire book, and then read it again, and then read it a third time. And at some point throughout that process, because each time you read it, you become a stronger person, what's going to happen is you're going to learn something new about yourself and about God. Okay? So it goes on to say in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23, but have nothing to do with foolish and ignorant speculations, useless disputes over unedifying, stupid controversies. Since you know that they produce strife and give birth to quarrels, the servant of the Lord must not participate in quarrels, but must be kind to everyone, even tempered, preserving peace, and he must be skilled in teaching, patient, and tolerant when wrong. He must correct those who are in opposition with the courtesy and gentleness, in the hope that God may grant that they may be able to repent and lead to the knowledge of truth and accurately understanding and welcoming it, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So you, again, when it talks about this, the aim of correction is repentance. That's the goal. When the person is convicted in their spirit by the word of God, there's an opportunity there for correction to take place. And for those of you, those of us who are in a position to teach the word, should recognize that and take that opportunity, not to jump down their throat and tell them that they suck, but to say, okay, since you're serious about understanding what this is and getting better, let's have a conversation. Let's take it offline and get in person, or let's jump on a Zoom together and truly have a conversation. Then I can pray for you too, and I can help you understand what the word is saying, and maybe discern when the Holy Spirit is talking to you. I can help you build up your spirit man so that you can receive the word and get the deliverance that he has for you. Okay. But when you are in these internet streets or anywhere else, and you're going back and forth with people who you know for a fact is trying to stir up controversy, they have no real intention in getting saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. They have no real intention in understanding what God is. They've already made up their mind that they don't want to listen, they don't want to receive. All they want to do is fight with you. When you discern that, just move on. just move on. I'm not going back and forth with anybody about the validity of the faith, about the validity of the Bible, the validity of the Word of God, of Jesus being the Messiah. I'm not going back and forth with you about a religious belief whatsoever. I am going to the throne of God with prayer, thanksgiving, fasting, and gratitude, and I'll take my petitions there. I cast all my cares on him because he loves me, and then I'm going to carry on. And what I will also do is take a look at what your cares are, and I will see you caught up. I will see you, man, you don't know what you're doing. You held captive by the devil. Okay, I see what's wrong with this person. So what I'm going to do for that individual, instead of going back and forth with them, I'm going to just pray for them. I'm going to just pray. Because whether they want you to or not, you can still pray. You can, if you don't want to pray for them right there in person because they don't want to receive it, no problem. You can still pray on your own time. Just for the Holy Spirit to penetrate their heart, to register in their spirit, to show them. I always pray for the Lord to show them his face. Father, show them your face. Let them know that you're real. Show them your power. Holy Spirit, help them. Heal their heart. Whatever it is that's hurting them, Lord God, that's restricting them from receiving your word and receiving the salvation that you have in store for them, Father, and getting true freedom and releasing the bondage of Satan that they are under. Lord God, please reveal it to them and release them in the name of Jesus. And I carry on. It's not my responsibility to hold your hand. I will meet you where you are, but I'm not going to stay there with you. I will meet you where you are, and I will pray and teach and lead and lift you up. But at some point in time, sweetheart, you got to understand your wings work too. You're going to have to take that leap of faith and believing in faith and believing what the Word of God says. That's what you're going to have to do. So your assignment here today, your call to action is to stop being ashamed and speak up about the things of God, regardless of who's going to receive it or not, regardless of who's going to like it or not, regardless of who's watching or not, because your audience is always one, and that's God. That's the Father himself looking upon you and saying, you know what, daughter, you know what, son, yeah, I'm proud of you. Thank you for moving forward anyway. Thank you for sharing anyway. Thank you for doing it anyway. I see you. Here's some more blessings. Here's some more love. Here's some more peace. Here's some more grace. Here's some more time on your life. Here's some more money. Here's some more prosperity. Here's some more success. Here's some more healing. See, our rewards don't come from the world. So the world can fight it all day long. It doesn't matter. But when the Lord tells you to do something, then you need to do it. Period. Unashamed, unapologetically, and unbothered. Do it anyway. Teach it anyway. Share it anyway. Show it anyway. Present it anyway. Because regardless of whose ears you have listening to you in the natural, there's ears in the spirit who are always listening. The Bible says angels hearken to the word of the Lord. They listen for God's word. They listen for it. So if you are speaking his word, guess what? The angels are hearkening to you. They're coming. He is sending them. They are standing at attention, ready to act. Uh-oh, she praying. Do I hear the word of God coming out of her mouth? Well, if you're not reading the word of God, you don't know the word of God for it to come out of your mouth. So you need to read the word of God. But yeah, when you're praying and all of a sudden your heart begins to shift and you start telling yourself, man, God, I believe your word. I believe your will for me is to have peace and prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. I believe that. John 14:14 is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, if you ask me anything, presenting all that I am, I will do it. That's a blank check. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Anything in the name of Jesus, I will do it. It's a blank check. Like imagine an actual check that you can just write out whatever amount you want, whatever blessing you want, whatever it is you want, whatever goal you want. And if you do it in his name, meaning based on the principles and the laws in his word, something that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit will edify, uplift, celebrate, and be proud of. If you do that, then you can receive it. When you receive it, it's going to be according to your faith. in God's timing. He doesn't operate on our calendar. Can he do it instantly? Yes. But it may take a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, as he continues to develop and refine your character. I'll share this and then I'll close. A lot of what's wrong with society today is that we have an instant gratification mentality. You got Instagram, you got Facebook, you got YouTube, all these social media platforms where you just click a button and immediately you're before the people. You get to like, comment, interact, all of this kind of stuff, and you get to instantly see how people are responding to what you're saying and what you're doing. But when it comes to the process of developing your character, God doesn't operate all the time on the instant gratification platform. That's not his philosophy and his process. Many times the things of God, because it's dealing with your heart and there's a lot of work that needs to be done there, it is a Polaroid process. Like a Polaroid camera used to back in the day. I was born in 81, so I grew up in the 90s. And we had these cameras, Polaroid cameras, that had this black film you would have to put inside of it, close it, snap the picture, scroll the black thing over to get to the next picture, snap it, and move on. And you could not see the picture that you took until after it was developed. Well, that development process, you take it to like a Ritz camera or a CVS or a Walgreens, and you send the film off to them, and it takes them about a week or so to process it because it goes through a 7 to 8 stage process. And 90% of that time, so let's say if it's 8 steps, 7 of those 8 steps are done in the dark to develop the film. It has to be done in a dark room set at a certain muggy temperature, so it's warm and muggy. I think it's like maybe a red light in there or something, so there's no bright lights in there whatsoever. And there's different buckets of solution that the film, the raw film, once taken out the camera, has to be dipped into this raw solution multiple times. And each time the film is dipped, the pixels of the picture begin to show better. They begin to come out more. Okay? Each time it's dipped. And so then the film is hung to dry in this dark room the entire time. And if bright light hits that room, if somebody flips a switch and turn on the light in that room before the film is completely developed, it can destroy the picture. That's how God is working on our character. He has us in that dark room where he is dipping us in our trials, dipping us in our tribulation so we can seek him, his word. He's dipping us in his word. He's dipping us closer to him. And so now he's fine-tuning the pixels of our heart so that when the light on the outside, when the sunlight, the spotlight, the promotion light, the success light, the marriage light, the children light, the financial light, when all of the lights of the world hit you, because the light on the inside of you has been developed properly, the pixels of your heart have been fine-tuned and developed and processed properly, the light on the inside of you can handle the capacity of the light on the outside of you, and therefore the light on the outside, what other people do in this world, won't destroy you. So yes, it's going to take some time for you to get to that point that you want to be at today. But if God put you there today because there's some parts in your character that have not yet been refined, the light that comes with that thing that you want could destroy you. And God doesn't want that to happen to you. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have the desires of your heart because he put those desires there in the first place. But he knows you. He knows your shortcomings. He knows your sins. He knows your iniquities. He knows the struggles that you deal with in the dark. And so he's taking you through that process to fine tune the pixels of the character of your heart. He is fine tuning the pixels of the character of your heart so that when the spotlight hits you and you win big, it doesn't destroy you because you gird it up in his word. You know your light comes from this. You know what your true reflection is. So when somebody else celebrates you, applauds you, puts you on a platform, you're not moved by that. You're not moved by that. You know man didn't do it. Because if man puts you on, man can take you off. But when God puts you on, man can't take you off. When God promotes you, when God elevates you, when God puts his stamp of approval on you. It doesn't matter who doesn't agree, who doesn't like it. How'd she get there? How'd she get that husband? She was out there when we was growing up. Or how'd he get that promotion? Why'd he get that title? He don't even qualify for that title. I've achieved more than him. How'd he get there? How'd she get there? What? They're going to looking puzzled, like, how did it happen? See, they didn't know the fine tuning of the pixels that you were doing in the dark. They didn't know the work that you were doing on the back end. They didn't understand the process that you set through when God was refining the character in your heart. So yeah, I'm here proudly, unashamed, and eager to give God the honor and the glory for every single bit of it. When you stay unashamed, and when that blessing comes, do not forget that it was God himself who got you there. Do not forget. Don't give, thank the people who God put in your life to assist you on that journey, but nobody gets the credit but Jesus. Nobody gets the credit but Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. It is him who promotes and puts up kings and removes kings. It is all the Lord thy God. Period, point blank, end of story. Do not compromise. Do not justify. Do not go back and forth with people about your faith. Don't debate it. Listen, stand firm on it. I don't have time to debate with you my faith because I'm too busy standing on it. If you want to know why I believe what I believe and I stand on what I stand on and I do what I do the way that I do it, just watch my work. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And in another scripture, it goes on to say, you say you want to know my faith you have faith with no works, but I'll show you my faith by my works. Meaning, just sit back. I don't have to tell you what I believe. I don't have to do that. You can see it in my life. You can see it in my walk. You can see it in my marriage. You can see it in my child. You can see it in my business. And I make no apologies for winning and succeeding. Because I'm doing it in alignment with the will of God. He has my back. Period. So if you don't like it, then you and your orphan spirit needs to go ahead and get delivered, get healed, get set free. You and your prideful spirit need to get healed, get delivered, and get set free. Because whatever business, whatever bitterness, whatever frustration, whatever resentfulness, whatever jealousy, whatever any of that you hold in your heart, please understand me when I say it does not hurt the person that you are holding it against. If you're bitter about me, if you're resentful about me, if you're angry about me, if you're jealous about me, it does not hurt me. It does not stop me. It does not slow me down. The only person it hurts is you, because you are holding it in your own heart. And so now God has to do extra work to fine tune the pixels in the character of your heart. So you got to stay in the dark longer than what you were supposed to be, because you're steady holding on to what you need to let go of. Don't debate your faith. Instead, stand firm. And God will continue to bless you. Y'all have a blessed day. Hehehe